I'm a physician by training, and I went to medical school and trained in a very traditional Western model. And in the Western model that I studied, it was very reductionist. You know what the word means, right? Reductionist means that you understand first the body, then the organs, then the tissues, then the cells, then the molecules, then the atoms. And the smaller you get, then you figure out that you know how you can see things at a very small level, reductionist level, mechanistically, then you can explain everything that happens in a human body. So I went to medical school where that model was taught. And it still is everywhere in the world. And the basic, first of all, in medical school, in biology, we don't address consciousness. We ignore it. If at all we address it, then we say it's a byproduct of our biology. Which means, just like your stomach makes hydrochloric acid, and your gallbladder secretes bile, and your pancreas makes pancreatic juice, your brain somehow secretes consciousness. So consciousness is a byproduct of your brain mechanism. And that's right now, other than genetics, brain, understanding how the brain works, is the frontier of biology. Because if you read people like, I don't know if you're familiar with the biologists and the biologist philosophers in consciousness, but people like Richard Dawkins or Daniel Dennett, and there are many others who totally believe that consciousness is a byproduct of our brain. So if you believe in God, in heaven, hell, salvation, damnation, you fall in love, you are moved by poetry, you dance to music, it's all a byproduct of your molecules. So if you can understand the molecules, and then we can figure out how these molecules behave, then we know everything, not only about ourselves, but about the whole universe. And unfortunately, that is the dominant view right now, whether we like it or not. There is no understanding of consciousness in biology. We are as close to it as we were 100 years ago in biology. But scientists keep promising that one of these days we'll figure out what consciousness is. Now, I come from a slightly different school of thought because of my own experiences with patients and my own experiences in understanding that domain which we call spirit, experientially through meditation and so on, where I feel that along with a number of other good scientists, that actually consciousness gives rise to our biology. It's the other way around. That consciousness is not a byproduct of our biology, but in fact it creates our biology. And the reason, first of all, I got into this, it's a long history. I went to a very reductionist, as I said, school, I trained as a physician, I then became an internist, I then trained as an endocrinologist, and then neuroendocrinology, which is the study of brain chemistry. And when I was in my training and afterwards as a physician, I was struck by, well, two things were happening. One is, when I saw patients, I couldn't figure out why, if you had two people who had the same disease, had the same physician, saw the same doctor, could have completely different outcomes. So one patient could die, the other patient could recover. So we were not really able to figure that out. And you ask any physician, they see that all the time. Even though we like to pretend that biology follows the same rules that everything else in nature follows, the rules of physics, chemistry, mathematics, somehow things are not predictable. And when you treat people, you might statistically be able to give some estimates, but you're never able to be sure about what's going to happen in a patient. So that was one thing that was happening when I was training and seeing my own patients. The second thing that was happening is because my field, where I was training, we were beginning to identify the molecules of emotion in the brain. And this was a great time in the 70s when scientists began to see that wherever a thought or an emotion goes, a molecule follows it. And these molecules, when we first discovered them, we called them neuropeptides, because neuro means the brain, peptide is proteins, so these are messenger molecules in your brain that actually code for almost every single emotion that you have. And we later realized that the word neuropeptide, you can come in, the word neuropeptide was a misnomer, because these molecules were not just in the brain, they were everywhere in the body. So when we started to look at immune cells, for example, and immune cells are cells that protect you against cancer and infection and degenerative disorders, even the ravages of aging. When we looked at the cell walls of these immune cells, it was clear that immune cells were listening or eavesdropping on your internal dialogue. So somebody inside you is having a conversation with themselves all the time. And we're going to try very hard to figure out who this person is, who never shuts up. We're also going to see what their local address might be for the time being. But we know one thing for sure, that this person, whoever it is, really never shuts up. This conversation is going on all the time. It's going on right now as you're listening to me and evaluating what I'm saying. It goes on in your sleep, it goes on in your dreams. And immune cells are listening. They're eavesdropping on your internal dialogue. Not only are immune cells eavesdropping on your internal dialogue, they actually communicate back and forth with the nervous system, because the immune cells make the same peptides, the same molecules that your brain makes when you have a thought. Which means that immune cells are conscious cells. They think. An immune cell, when it looks at a bacterium, it has to make a decision. This is a pneumococcus. Have I met him before? What was my last experience with the fellow? I really haven't met him, but my grandfather did, and I wonder what his opinion was. So, that's a conscious behavior, isn't it? Maybe not in English with an Indian accent. If you ask a really good neurobiologist, what's the difference between the immune system and the nervous system? If you ask a good neurobiologist, somebody who's kept up with their science, what's the difference between the immune system and the nervous system? They'll tell you there isn't any. The immune system is a circulating nervous system. Now it gets even more interesting, as we were, this is all, by the way, it's old stuff, it's not even new, you know, this is 30 years ago. So scientists at that time started looking elsewhere, because we had the techniques to look at these hormones. It was a new found technique called radioimmunoassay. So we started looking everywhere. And what we found was that the molecules of emotion were generated almost in every cell of your body. So today if you say, I have a gut feeling about such and such, then you're not speaking metaphorically. You're speaking literally, because your gut makes the same molecules, the same chemicals that your brain makes. We used to say you can trust your gut feelings a little more, because your gut cells haven't learned how to doubt their thinking yet.